Wonderful Grace of Jesus. You know, that bubbly old hymn was written way back in 1918 by Norwegian hymn writer Haldor Lillenes. And it's a pretty dated old hymn now, but it still kind of captures the spirit of joyful freedom that comes to us through the matchless grace of Jesus. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. And that word liberty or freedom is something that really means a lot to us, doesn't it? I mean, you love your freedom. I love my freedom. People long for freedom. People live for freedom. People die for freedom. In fact, all of human history could be seen as a struggle for freedom. Freedom is just something that's inherently desirable to human beings. And the Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians, more than anything else, is about freedom. It answers the question, how can I be truly free? Free from guilt, free from fear, free from doubt, free from sin, and free from always trying and yet never quite making it. And so Galatians is the good news message that God's will for you is your freedom. That it's for your freedom that Christ died, it's for your freedom that he rose again, and that he sent his Holy Spirit. God gave his all for your freedom. As Bible teacher John Piper says, there's nothing God wills with more intensity under the glory of his own name than this, your freedom. God wills that you be free. But what sort of freedom are we talking about here? Well, whether the freedom is something worth having or not really depends on the kind of freedom that it is. Not all freedom is necessarily good. Sociologist Robert Bella says, freedom can turn out to just mean being left alone by others, not having other people's values, ideas, or styles of life forced upon us, being free of arbitrary authority in work, family, and political life. In other words, it's the freedom to be left alone, to do whatever we want to do, whenever, wherever, however, and with whomever we please. And that might sound pretty good to some, but it's not the kind of freedom that Galatians is all about. Galatians is about the kind of freedom that the late Bible teacher John Stott described as freedom from my silly little self in order to live responsibly in love for God and others. Or as someone else said, freedom is not the right to do as you please, but the liberty to do as you ought. So when Paul talks about freedom, he always means the freedom that we have to be fully alive in Jesus Christ, not just the freedom to do whatever we want. But our text today, in Galatians 5 and verse 1, begins by proclaiming, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Or literally, for freedom, Christ has freed you. You see, Jesus' whole mission on earth was an operation of liberation. And everything about the gospel of Jesus Christ has to do with freedom. So I just want to look at two verses today in Galatians chapter 5 to help us define gospel freedom. Verse 1 and then verse 13. And these two verses make it clear what freedom is not. Freedom is not indulging your every whim. But neither is freedom keeping all the rules. And this is actually the challenge of the Christian life that we all face. It's a matter of balance. It's a matter of staying on course, of straight walking the truth of the gospel. Now, the great reformer Martin Luther once said, the Christian life is like a drunk riding a horse. We keep falling off one side or the other. And what he means is here that we either tend to fall into legalism or rule-keeping, which chokes our freedom, or into license or permissiveness, which perverts our freedom. And when we fall off either side, we lose our freedom. Now, some Bible translations print verse 1 here as a little paragraph by itself. And that's because something in Paul's letter changes here. Verse 1 is kind of a summary of what he's already been talking about so far. And it's also the beginning of him setting up for how he's going to apply what he's been talking about to our daily life. And Paul's theology always includes practical applications. And so the gospel truths that Paul has been stating and defending in the four preceding chapters, he's now going to apply to daily life in chapters 5 and 6. Now, you may recall there was some Jewish agitators, as Paul calls them, who were questioning Paul's apostleship and his gospel. And they were trying to lead these new Galatian Christians back into slavery, to rules and regulations of the law as a way for them to merit God's favor, especially the rite of circumcision as required for men. And so the reason Paul wrote Galatians was for three reasons, actually. First of all, to defend his apostleship in chapters 1 and 2. Second, to explain the gospel in terms of justification by faith and not by works of the law, chapters 3 and 4. And now, in chapters 5 and 6, to apply these gospel truths to our daily life. And so in verse 1, he says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So Christ has already done the work on the cross that was needed in order to set us free. But Paul warns here that this freedom we have through Christ's work can be lost. Even though our freedom is the work of God, it can slip from our grasp. And so to keep our freedom, we must, as he says, stand firm. And that word translated from the Greek, stand firm there, is actually a military word. It means to stay alert, to be strong, to stick together. And so in spite of the fact that we have been saved by Christ, we still need to stand firm and be diligent to trust that what Christ has done for us, his wonderful grace, is sufficient for us, that it's enough. And to know that doing things for God is actually the opposite of entering into what God does or has done for you. So it's not a matter of the fact that we can lose our salvation, but we can lose our freedom from that yoke of slavery by just falling back into trying to do things to save ourselves, trying to merit favor with God. So Paul says here, don't let yourselves be burdened again. And he says again here because he's talking to the Galatians who had at one time been pagans who were under the slavery of idolatry, you know, striving to appease their false gods. But then when they heard the gospel and they came to believe in Christ, he saved them from all that. He took them out of that. He set them free. But Paul warns now, if they're now going to fall into Jewish legalism, they're going to find themselves right back in the same old yoke of slavery. He's saying that pagan idolatry, appeasing gods through rituals, and biblical moralism, keeping the laws, are basically the same thing if you're depending on them to be saved. And so these Galatians who had at one time been immoral liberals were now in danger of becoming very moral conservatives. And Paul says these two things really boil down to the same thing. So having escaped from one form of ritualism, will they now be enslaved to another? See, under the yoke of the law, they put themselves under that, they're going to experience again the same anxiety and guilt and burdened life that they had known before as pagans. And they'll never be able to rest assured that they're good enough to be accepted by God because of what Christ has done. You know, some people think that freedom comes from keeping the rules. You know, do good, try harder, go to church, be baptized, give your tithes, follow the Ten Commandments, help the poor. All good things to do. But putting our trust in rule-keeping always fails in the end because we can never be sure if we've really done enough to merit salvation. Is one prayer enough or would two be better? Have I done enough good deeds today or should I try harder? That's a yoke of slavery. I mean, think about it. If Christ has set us free at the huge cost of giving his own life, it's foolish to think that he would do all that only to transfer us to another prison. He has set us free that we might be free indeed. So trying to keep the rules can't save you. But ignoring the rules isn't the answer either. That's like falling off the other side of the horse. And this is what verse 13 now warns us about here. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." Hallelujah. We're called to be free. But he says, "Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Now, Paul knows when he says that we're called to be free from the yoke of the law, that some will think that we're now free to determine our own standards of behavior, that it just gives us the privilege to, you know, do whatever our heart wants us to do. Just throw off all the rules. And so he adds this warning in verse 13. Now in verse 1, he had said, "Don't lose your gospel freedom to legalism or rule-keeping." But now here in verse 13, he says, "Don't abuse your gospel freedom through license or permissiveness." Keeping the rules can't save you. But ignoring the rules or indulging the flesh, as Paul puts it, it doesn't work either. Because when we do that, we end up like Solomon. Remember King Solomon as he was writing in Ecclesiastes? And, you know, he had it all. He tried it all. He did everything. But he concluded at the end of it all with a cry of desperation in Ecclesiastes 2. "I hated life," he says. That self-indulgent kind of freedom doesn't make us happy. And so if trying to find happiness by striving hard to keep all the rules doesn't work, and if abandoning the rules to pursue our own pleasures doesn't work, where can we find true freedom in life? Well, Galatians offers us the answer. Freedom comes not from rules or from lack of rules, but in a personal love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus does free us to live in the way we want. So how? How does it do that? Well, if you truly understand who Jesus is and what he has done for you, then you will ask, "How can I live for him?" And the answer will be, look at the will of God as it's expressed in the law. The gospel frees us from the law for the law. And if we make the law the principle of our life, well, then we're in the position of a slave. But if we make the grace of Jesus the principle of our life, then we're free. Does away with the old selfishly motivated and unloving kind of law obedience, and it motivates us to obey the law in a whole different way, out of love. St. Augustine said it this way, "Love God and do what you like." Because if we truly love God, then what he wants will become what we want. What we want will become what he wants. And so Christian freedom is not the freedom to sin, but by the grace of God, it's the freedom not to sin. It's the God-given, Spirit-imparted power and ability and desire to do what we ought to do and to enjoy doing it. It's kind of like this. When our four kids were really small, and we were living in a very small house at the time, and the living room served as their playroom. It was the only place they could get their toys out and stuff, and so they'd bring their toys and their dolls and their Lego and Light Brights and their picture books and all this stuff, and they have it all over the living room floor where they would play. But when it was time for bed, I'd say, "Okay, time to pick it all up and put it back in the toy box." And they'd say, "Daddy, will you help us?" And so I have two possibilities there. I could say, no, you pick them up. I'm going to give you 3 minutes, and if you're not done, there'll be trouble. And, you know, they may pout then and they'll whine, but, you know, eventually they'll get the job done, unhappily. Or I could say, "Well, sure, I'll help you. Let's see how fast we can do this together." And so they pitch in and they work faster, and with my help, they actually have fun doing it. And their experience is very different in each case. In the first, they're not free, and they do the work like a yoke of slavery is on their back, and like a heavy weight is on their lower lip, you know. And they're not acting in freedom because the task is a chore that oppresses them. But in the second case, they're free. You know, they do a better job, no complaining, because they have the freedom of joy and they don't feel the burden of that yoke there. So what's the difference? Daddy was on the floor helping and even making it enjoyable. You know, it's the same work, but in one case it's under the yoke of slavery, in the other case it's freedom. Someone has said, real freedom is being able not to have my way and still be just as happy as if I did. And this is the clue to how we can live in the freedom that Galatians 5, verse 1 and verse 13 are talking about. The key to freedom is whether we have to do the work ourselves to escape punishment or whether our Father comes down to be with us and help us. True freedom is the sovereign, gracious work of God in us and for us day by day. Daddy coming down onto the floor and turning obedience into fun. But that can really only happen through a life of faith, you know, which is a life of joyful reliance on what God does for us, and not what we can do for God. It frees us to love. Verse 13 says, we are called to be free, and then it also tells us that we are to serve one another humbly in love. So it sounds a bit like a paradox. Freedom and serving. How do those two go together? Well, it's not a contradiction. When serving one another comes out of a heart of love, they go together. And so the freedom that God wills for us comes not from keeping the rules, nor from throwing out the rules, but through a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where true freedom is found. Now next week I want to begin looking in further on in Galatians chapter 5 at what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit here. Those nine beautiful, joyful, grace-empowered character traits that God wants to grow in our lives. And we'll be starting with the greatest of these, love.